Jesus promised his followers many wonderful things. As you go through the Gospels, you find Jesus promising peace, comfort, rest, joy. Those things which so often our society is longing for, but does not seem able to find. But alongside those highly desirable things, Jesus also promised some things which we would probably not find so desirable. And that passage from John's Gospel highlights one of those. As Jesus assured his disciples that they would be persecuted. It was Jesus' last evening with his disciples as he prepared for his coming death. The evening must have consisted of one shock after another for Jesus' disciples, and this must have been one of the strongest. Let me read it again, just from verse 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Switch from love to hate is very dramatic. Love one another, the world will hate you. But why should the world hate us? Jesus flags up three reasons. And first, the world will persecute us because we don't belong. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. Pretty well everywhere you go, racism exists. Sometimes it is a huge issue, as it was in Rwanda, not that long ago, with Hutus and Tutsis slaughtering each other. In other places, it's more subtle. But I think that what lies at the bottom of racism always is that they are different. It might be that they have a different color skin. It might be that they dress differently, or eat different food, or have different customs. But the fundamental issue is that they are different. And when you realize that, it is hardly surprising that Christians should face the same sort of prejudice. Because we are different. The society around us worships money. We say that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The society around us in so many ways worships sex and relationships. We say that sex belongs exclusively within heterosexual marriage. In New Testament times, Christians were persecuted by the Roman Empire because they wouldn't worship Caesar. They were seen as being disloyal to the state. In the Muslim world today, that's why many Christians are persecuted. Because to be a good member of society means to be a Muslim. So if you're not one, you're disloyal to the state. And I think that is beginning to become increasingly true in our society. It would never be expressed in that way, of course. But still, if we don't toe the line with what the government are saying, we are being disloyal somehow. Of course, all this assumes... Well, this means that Jesus assumes that his people will be different from those around. Not different loony, which is sadly sometimes the case, but different ethically and socially and economically. And it raises the question, I wonder if we are. The second thing is, the world will persecute us because it persecuted Jesus. Remember what I've told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. I have I've sometimes met Christians who were given a hard time, but for the wrong reasons. Very sadly, Christians aren't always polite and considerate. If you go out to share the gospel and are rude to people who won't listen, and as a result get complaints, that won't be persecution because of Christ. That will be persecution because you're downright unpleasant and deserve it. In Galatians, Paul writes about the offense of the cross. But there is no excuse for the offense, that comes from the person speaking about the cross. What we need is to live and speak as those who are following Jesus. And that means that for us, what Jesus says will always trump what society says. It does not matter what Parliament might decide about sexual ethics. As a Christian, I'm going to follow Jesus. Not because I want to be awkward or because I enjoy a scrap. Believe me, I'd far sooner have a quiet life. But I must follow Jesus and not society. And of course, Jesus himself stood out from the society of his day, not because he was awkward, but because he understood what God wanted from his people and insisted on that even when the society around him were going a different way. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. But of course, they didn't obey Jesus' teaching. And so if we are faithful to what Jesus said, they won't obey ours. We need to make sure that if we do face persecution, it's because we are doing and saying what Jesus did and said. And third, the world will persecute us because we show that they are guilty. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen. Seems to me that our society doesn't like people who are too good. We like stars who give up a bit of their time for something like comic relief, because that's for a good cause. And we know that the rest of the time, those people are no better than us. But when it comes to someone who is genuinely and self-sacrificially good, have you seen how the press tends to turn on them? If you think back a few years, it happened with Mother Teresa. In a couple of years before her death, there were several journalists looking for a story to show that she wasn't as good as she appeared to be. Why is it that our society doesn't rejoice constantly in those who are so self-sacrificing? I think it's because that sort of thing shows up how self-centered the rest of us are most of the time. And that's the problem with Jesus. He lived a life of perfect love. But that just shows up how hollow most people's lives are. Jesus spoke words of life. He backed those words up with the way he lived. And he demonstrated that he had the right to say those things by performing his miraculous signs. No one had any excuse for ignoring him. So what they did was to kill him. See, the thing is, people in our society want to be able to believe that they are good. But that means that when someone comes along who is genuinely good, it shows the rest up. It means that either they'll have to admit that they aren't good and do something about it, or else they'll have to try to smear the genuinely good person. And you see, if we are living lives that are like Jesus, we will have that effect. If we live holy lives, it will expose the shallowness of people around us. That might lead them to repent, but more likely it will lead them to persecute us. The world will persecute us because we're following Jesus and because we show up their sin. Of course, that will only happen if we are genuinely different, if we really are following Jesus, if we really are being disciples, if our lives are markedly more holy than people around us. So why bother? If it's going to give us that much grief, why bother? Well, it was there at the beginning of our reading where Jesus said, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. What greater privilege could there possibly be, knowing that Jesus calls us friends? Yes, it might lead to persecution, but it will also lead to eternal glory. Amen.